for a little while. We're looking at a book, and we're copying it, but we're going to keep the lesson to less than 50% of the book, so we're not breaking in God.
Well, we'll do a little bit more than half the book then. So, well, some of the things are not as applicable. And there's a reason I want to do this. After that, just some short summary notes. Here is the thing. One of the biggest questions or problems that I have with the Christian church is that they are very few thinkers. The man who wrote this book is a man named Rushdoony. Many people don't like his name because he's associated with theonomy. But this is a brilliant book, one of the best books I've ever read, outside, of course, the Holy Scriptures. This book was compiled out of a series of radio lectures that were given at the time of 1966-67. These are about 40 years old. Now, you will see when a brilliant person or a wise person, a good thinker, a good Christian thinker speaks, you would see that his words are true. And that's how you know, as we say, a prophet. Among other things you will find in this series is Rushdoony predicting the destruction of communism. And he explained why communism would be destroyed. And he was right to the T, because he examined communism based on the Holy Scriptures. And when you stick with that framework, you're always going to be right. But we have to develop our own minds into becoming better thinkers, being able to evaluate things. For example, you hear the classic thing in the United States is separation of church and state. That's sort of the beginning topic that he deals with here. Let's separate church from state. And we need to think that through. Is that a Christian thing? Many Christians jump on that and say yes. Or, for example, you hear freedom of speech. And Christians say, oh yeah, we must have freedom of speech. Well, are there limitations to freedom of speech? How do you limit freedom of speech? What's the basis? We need to be able to think. We think of the existence of pornography or the removal of the traditional definition of marriage. Are those things of any consequence? I had to spend time and rethink that issue before I could have some good answers, because we're not trained to think, well, why is the family so important to society? Why is it if there are these homosexual unions that somehow that can destroy society? Well, we have to be able to train our minds to think. Not just simply state, well, Jesus came in the world to die for our sins. Yeah, that's true. But after you have become a Christian, as Schaeffer used to say, what then? How shall you then think? How shall you live? And we can't live in a vacuum. You know, it's true that many people, because they cannot evaluate and respond to problems in society, their response is to build walls around themselves. And you would know the churches, because they become cultish. We are in our group. We only marry within our group. We stay within our group. We don't go out and evangelize, because those people are not the right type of people. We don't know how to deal with them. It's not because they are against evangelism. Surely they will send money to missions. Every Christian church does that. But for they themselves to be involved in it is quite a difficult thing. Why? Because they've not been able to argue with those who are not Christians. And that's what I'm hoping that we can really encourage you to do, push you to do. This book is called, I mentioned it, Law and Liberty, and it was, as I said, about 40 years old. Now, what we can do is try to read by paragraphs or so, if you are willing. It's not very long, and after that I have a summary of the main points that I will pass around that you can put in your files if you do so. So, The first topic is, can we legislate morality? In other words, can we make into law morals? Can we take morals and make them into law? That's often a question that, and people would say, no, we can't do that. Laws must be based on laws, not on morality or religion. Separate the religion from the law. And let's begin then. Ryan, if you don't mind.
An oft-quoted statement has it that we can't legislate morality. We are told that it is useless and even wrong to enact certain kinds of legislation because they involve trying to make people moral by law, and this, it is insisted, is an impossibility. Whenever various groups try to effect reforms, they are met with the words, you can't legislate morality.
Okay, you see the point here. The argument against saying you can't make laws based on morality is because you can't make people into Christians by making laws. Is that true? Sure. You can't make people into Christians by making laws. So that's the argument some people say, well, we can't use morality to make our laws. Next.
Now, it must be granted that there is a measure of truth to this statement. If people could be made moral by law, it would be a simple matter for the Board of Supervisors or of Congress to pass laws making all Americans moral. This would be salvation by law. Men and nations have often resorted to salvation by law, but the only consequence has been greater problems and social chaos.
Now, if you reflect back in society, you think that's what Chairman Mao tried to do in China. He had a system of morals that the teachers had to teach their children in school. It's communist morals. But these were the morals. These are the laws, and the hope was that China would be this perfect society. What was the word for perfect society that the communists loved to use?
Utopia.
They loved to argue for the utopia, and they could do it by making laws. And if you have good laws, and everyone's working together, society will be perfect. Now, we realize that it didn't work that way. The severe starvation in Russia, the businesses fell apart, the economy fell apart because people didn't work together in this perfect utopia. They could not save people by the law, though they tried. Hey?
It's similar to Islam as well.
Yes, right.
They try to legalize their moral code.
Right.
Enforce it with the law.
Well, and the reason that is normal is because that is the sinful part of man thinking that by doing good things that man can be saved from his sins. It's the works religion. That's why we always say, like Tony would say, you have the do religion and the done religion. Everything is a do religion. Do this, do this, do this. But only the Bible teaches of the done religion Christ has already done for us. Okay.
We can agree, therefore, that people cannot be saved by law, but it is one thing to try to save people by law, another to have moral legislation, that is, laws concerned with morality. The statement, you can't legislate morality, is a dangerous half-truth, and even a lie, because all legislation is concerned with morality. Every law on the statute books of every civil government is either an example of enacted morality or it is procedural thereto.
That means it's working towards enacting morality as law.
Our laws are all moral laws representing a system of morality. Laws against manslaughter and murder are not moral laws, or are moral laws. They echo the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Laws against theft are commandments against stealing. Slander and libel laws, perjury laws, enact the moral requirement, thou shalt not bear false witness. Traffic laws are moral laws also. Their purpose is to protect life and property. Again, they reflect the Ten Commandments. Laws concerning police and court procedures have a moral purpose also, to further justice and to protect law and order. every law on the statute books is concerned with morality or with the procedures for the enforcement of law, all law is concerned with morality. We may disagree with the morality of a law, but we cannot deny the moral concern of law. Law is concerned with right and wrong. It punishes and restrains evil and protects the good. And this is exactly what morality is about. It is impossible to have law without having morality behind that law, because all law is simply enacted morality.
Right. All law is simply enacted morality. A couple of words there. Max, you know what slander is?
Slander, too.
Say something untrue to the hurt of someone else, and libel is quite similar.
It's written.
Pardon?
It's written.
Okay. Written lies against someone. Okay, and perjury is to lie under oath, to lie when you're in court, when you take an oath. That's back in the first page, the three laws. Three words: slander, libel, and perjury. So the principle here is that all law reflects some standard of morality. All law reflects some standard of morality. You cannot have a law without a moral standard. After all, what do law says? Do this, don't do this. You must do this, you must not do this. Well, why? Because it's wrong. Well, as soon as you use the word wrong, you are talking of morality. You don't make laws simply for the sake of making laws. You make laws because you want to reflect the morality that is expected, or to restrain people who want to do bad things, saying don't do this, and to require that people do this. You're required to pay taxes. The goal is supporting of the government that must protect you. You're required to do so. Anything you can, any possible law you can think of has a standard or is based on morality of some sort. Okay, that's good.
There are, however, different kinds of morality. Biblical morality is one thing, and Buddhist, Hindu, and Muslim morality radically differ moral systems. Some moral laws forbid the eating of meat as sinful, for example, Hinduism, and others declare that the killing of unbelievers can be a virtue, as in Muslim morality. For Plato's morality, some acts of perversion were noble forms of love, whereas for the Bible, the same acts are deserving of capital punishment.
Right. One of the things with the Greeks is that they saw homosexuality as a noble thing. The Hindus would not kill. One of the reasons they starve is because they would not kill rats. They estimate that rats eat about 46% of their food, but they will not kill the rats.
Because it could be a reincarnation.
But that's their standard of morality. Now, in the West, we have all the problems. We have all this system of morality. We say, well, we make judgments. Abortions are legal, and we go around killing millions of children every year in the West. That's our standard. You see, it reflects the morals of the people. It reflects the morals of the people. Because you realize, if more people were really opposed to abortion, we'd be able to stop it. If we really believed it was wrong, we'd be able to stop it. It's very easy to, but we don't have a strong enough conviction of that as being wrong. Because if 50% of the people go out to vote, you realize there'd be no none of these liberals, and most of the conservatives would be gone as well. And forget about the NDP. There'd be Christian people leading the country. But we don't have a strong enough conviction. That's reflecting our morality in North America. Now, not the true Christian. His morality will be different. But generally, most people call themselves Christians. But their morality is reflected in how they live, how they vote, and so on. But the Muslims and so on, they have their own system of morality. Homicide bombers who go out and kill themselves and kill other people. That's noble to them. Muslims believe you don't have to speak the truth to a non-Muslim. That's part of their teaching of their books. So you can lie to anyone who's not a Muslim.
Steal.
Plundering. For food? Yeah, sure. Just say, well, we are starving and we are oppressed, so we can attack people and take away their food. That's what they're trained in many of these religions. So, okay, let's go next.
The point is this. All law is enacting the morality and presupposes a moral system, a moral law, and all morality presupposes a religion as its foundation. Law rests on morality and morality on religion.
Yeah, you understand that? Morality doesn't come from anything else but religion. It's your religion that reflects what you say and do. We don't have this inherent thought by ourselves that, oh, this is necessarily right and this is necessarily wrong. It's a reflection of our religion. Because even if our conscience might say, well, you don't think this is right, if your religion is training you in this, that's what they do with these young Muslim kids. They train them from childhood. Hate Jews. Prepare to be suicide bombers. That's okay. After a while, it's reflected in society what they have been taught in their religion. Please continue.
Whenever and wherever you weaken the religious foundations of a country or people, you then weaken the morality also, and you take away the foundations of its law. The result is the progressive collapse of law and order and the breakdown of society.
Now let me give you the best example of this. Remember, this man is American. He's writing here largely about America, but I think it generally applies to Canada also. Here's how people have attacked the foundations of America. You ever hear this this talk about the establishment of religion? There shall be that Congress shall make no law with respect to religion. So many skilled lawyers, the way they attack that is to say, you see here, no religion, Congress shall not establish any religion at all. But if you understand the way the word was used before, religion there was saying denomination. Congress shall not take the position of one denomination over another. So the Presbyterians, which were largely concerned, could not overpower the Baptists. That's what the establishment was. You shall not establish one denomination over another denomination. But what these skilled lawyers did say, you see here it says you shall not make any laws considering religion. It's just complete a brilliant scheme of doing, of undermining the foundations that Rushduni is speaking of here. But it wasn't true. It's based on a real lie. Because the American system of government, and quite similar to ours in Canada, was based on Christian people. It was founded by Christian people. So this was not against Christian people, it was against making one denomination over another. Remember, this was the problem that happened in England, where there was only one official church, the Anglican Church. And that's still the official Church of England. That's why it's called the Church of England. And when the people went to the United States, they decided, we don't want to follow that same kind of problems like we have there in England. And of course, in Europe, you have the Roman Catholics, who controlled the countries and the leaders of the country. And any other were persecuted severely. I mean, there are so many Christians who were murdered by Roman Catholics. The Inquisition, for example, by the Jesuits. Started by what? What's the name of the Jesuit? Remember his name? Ignatius Loyola. They persecuted the people, so the American system of government was based on not establishing one denomination, but the country was founded as a Christian nation. Now, let's continue. Right.
This is what we are experiencing today. Law and order are deteriorating because the religious foundations, the biblical foundations, are being denied by the courts and by the people. Our American system of laws has rested on a biblical foundation of law, on biblical morality, and we are now denying the biblical foundation for a humanistic one. From colonial days to the present, American law has represented biblical faith and morality. Because it has been biblical, our laws have not tried to save men by law, but they have sought to establish and maintain that system of law and order which is most conducive to godly society.
Okay, two words there, from colonial days, meaning the days when America was under British rule, and then most conducive means most helpful to good society. So the early founders of the United States, their view was not that the law, the Christian law or the moral laws, would save men, but rather that it would make society godly, peaceful, so the people can worship God, give them the freedom to do so. Okay, next.
Now, our increasingly humanistic laws, courts, and legislators are giving us a new morality. They tell us, as they strike down laws resting upon biblical foundations, that morality cannot be legislated. But what they offer is not only legislated morality, but salvation by law, and no Christian can accept this. Wherever we look now, whether with respect to poverty, education, civil rights, human rights, peace, and all things else, we see laws passed designed to save man. Supposedly, these laws are going to give us a society free of prejudice, ignorance, disease, poverty, crime, war, and all other things considered to be evil. These legislative programs add up to one thing, salvation by law.
So while they tell us that we don't want Christian law to be our we don't want Christianity to be the foundation for the law, they actually replace it with their own system of law with the goal to make this utopia. It's just different. We do it differently than the communists attempted to do it. But in North America, the goal is to make perfect society. After all, they try to make everyone equal. What is it that Mr. Kretschian is boasting about? He wants universal health care so the government can take your babies from 6 weeks so the mothers can go back to work. And they want to, and this is Mr. Martin is also supporting this, NDP, of course, universal health care, where they'll be able to take your children from very young.
Universal daycare.
Daycare, sorry. They want to take care of the kids from there. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Well, you already have the
teachers are all the Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah, they're indoctrinating the people, and that's why, you know, I listen to people who have gone to universities here. I think, especially if you're involved in economics or any kind of business, you're taught plainly socialism. It's just a different kind. It's just done in a different way than the way the communists went about it. But the end result is the same, where man is going to be saved by making laws. How do we stop childhood labor? Now, in the first case, childhood labor is completely... I believe in child labor. But here, we're trying to stop it because we think that's morally reprehensible. Why? Because it fits in with the standard of morality that is in existence today. Not based on this, but they want to make life perfect for everybody. So let's make laws. Instead of executing people, they decide, no, let's rehabilitate them because we want to save them. Now, I'm talking about murderers now. They want to say, well, let's rehabilitate. Let's make them into good people. Isn't that the goal of government? Don't punish them. Don't execute them. Just give them nice computers and give them pleasant life. I mean, with all the shooting that has happened in Toronto last year, what's the thing that you hear the most from the Liberals and the NDP? Well, these kids need jobs and they need more after-school programs. And you never hear them say, let's get these people, if they commit murder, let's deal with them.
Not eye for an eye or...
Yeah, there's no system of justice. But that's reflecting the morality. They want to save people by making laws that will make life perfect for everybody. It's the same foolishness that the communists tried. And our eyes are not being opened. We're following the same path. And you know what? Christians are following the same thing. They don't know any better. You'll see what about this in a minute. Next.
This brings us to the crucial difference between biblical law and humanistic law. Laws grounded on the Bible do not attempt to save man or to usher in a brave new world, a great society, world peace, a poverty-free world, or any other such ideal. The purpose of biblical law, and all laws grounded on a biblical faith, is to punish and restrain evil, and to protect life and property, to provide justice for all people. It is not the purpose of the state and its law to change or reform men. This is the spiritual matter, or this is a spiritual matter and a task for religion. Man can be changed only by the grace of God through the ministry of His Word. Man cannot be changed by statist legislation. He cannot be legislated into a new character. The evil will or heart of man can be restrained by law, in that a man can be afraid of the consequences of disobedience. We all slow down a bit on the freeway when we see a patrol car, and we are always mindful of speed regulations. The fact of law and the strict enforcement of law are restraints upon man's sinful inclinations. But while a man can be restrained by a strict law and order, man cannot be changed by law. He cannot be saved by law. Man can only be saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ.
That's a very brilliant paragraph, as he really summarized for us the differences between man's law, humanism, which attempts to save man, and God's law, which is really a restraint. And isn't it true when you go by and you see the police car, or as they would say, the patrol car, you tend to ease off from the gas a little bit. You know, sometimes I'm even going at the speed limit, but the natural instinct is, oh boy, well, I assume I'm breaking the law. I'm going too fast. I take my foot off the gas. Just ease a little bit. Why? Because law was meant as a restraint. Biblical law, that is. Okay, next.
Now, humanistic law has a different purpose. Humanistic law aims to save men as remaking society. For humanism, salvation is an active state. It is civil government which regenerates man and society and brings him into a paradise on earth. As a result, for the humanistic, social action is everything. Man must work to pass the right set of laws because his salvation depends on it. Any who oppose the humanist in his plan of salvation by law, salvation by acts of civil government, is by definition an evil man conspiring against the good of society. The majority of men in office today are intensely moral and religious men, deeply concerned with saving men by law. From the biblical perspective, from the Christian perspective, the program is immoral and ungodly. But these men are, for their humanistic perspectives, not only men of great dedication, but men of earnest humanistic faith and morality.
Yeah, so don't question the morality of the men who are in these positions, but they are doing it for their religion, which is not the Bible, but humanism. That's why it shouldn't surprise you that as you hear some of the election debates, that you hear some of the politicians saying, we will never permit private health care. It's illegal for you to get your own private health care and pay for it yourself. Why? because we want to make everyone the same. Now, I'm not advocating one thing or the other. What I'm saying here is that there's a sense of, well, let's make everybody equal. Let's make all the... If you are rich, we'll tax you more, so you will become poorer. If you're poor, we'll not tax you, so you can become rich. We'll give you all the same benefits, but you don't have to pay. Now, for those of us who are poor, we tend to say, "Oh, sure, I don't mind the extra break in taxes." But it is intrinsically unfair for somebody, simply because he earned more, to pay a greater percentage of his money. You see in Sweden where the maximum tax break is 90%. You can be paying 90% of your income in tax. It's a socialist society. Here's where they're going. Let's make everybody on the same level. That's humanistic law. Whereas it's based on biblical morality. You learn, if you work, you eat. You don't work, you don't eat.
What's the incentive to work?
Well, of course, that's the problem. That's what destroyed. That's what he leads to later on. What's the incentive if you know you're going to get your pay at the end of the month? That's what killed Russian industry. People did not work hard. If you, I'm sure many of you probably read the book Animal Farm. Ever read that? He also wrote the book 1984, Orwell. And in that book, it reflects that when there's a picture of the animals taking over the farm and kicking out the farmer. And then they end up with a totalitarian society. They thought everybody was going to pull their own way. And then you find out, no, you could get away without doing it. You didn't do it. And then the pigs, of course, became the elite. And they suddenly decided, hey, we're not going to follow. We don't want to be like the peasant. Even though that was the goal of making all animals equal. And the first law was all animals were equal. And eventually... they change the law, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than some. They gradually change all the laws. No animal shall sleep in bed. And then the law was changed, no animal shall sleep in bed without sheets. And gradually all the laws that were showing that we are all going to be equal were changed gradually because of the very sinful nature of man. It has never worked. It has never worked. It will never work. Because it's against God's law. Okay. Next.
As a result, our basic problem today is that we have two religions in conflict. Humanism and Christianity. Each with its own morality and the laws of that morality. When the humanist tells us, therefore, that you can't legislate morality, what he actually means is that we must not legislate biblical morality, because he means to have humanistic morality legislated. The Bible is religiously barred from the schools because the schools have another established religion, humanism. The courts will not recognize Christianity as the common law foundation of American life and the civil government, because the court has already established humanism as the religious foundation of American life. For humanism is a religion, even though it does not believe in God. It is not necessary for a religion to believe in God to be a religion. As a matter of fact, most of the world's religions are essentially humanistic and anti-theistic.
That means anti-God or anti-God. All religions are really that way, against the true God. Okay, next.
The new America taking shape around us is a very religious America, but its religion is humanism, not Christianity. It is a very morally minded America, but its ethics is the new morality, which for Christianity is simply the old sin. The new revolutionary humanistic America is also very missionary minded. Humanism believes in salvation by works of law, and as a result, we are trying as a nation to save the world by law.
Okay, let's stop there a minute. One of the most common things you hear George Bush saying is that we want to multiply what? If you hear him talk, I don't know if you have time to listen to him, but the thing that he talks about the most, he wants in his time to multiply, and his father actually was very big on this too. Their goal is to multiply democracy. Now, we've talked about this before. What is democracy based on? Demo means people. People rule. In other words, man is God. In democracy, if 51% vote to make a new law, then that becomes the law. And that's really humanism. And I have gotten tired of hearing preachers spout off of how great democracy is. Now, don't get me wrong, I prefer to live in a democratic society than in a communist society. But don't be under any impression that democracy is based on the Bible. Never has. This is people rule, or really, it is a rule by the mob. Most people, 51%. The 51% of the people become then the bosses of society, instead of reflecting the law of God. I mean, who cares if most people in Canada support abortions? It's still wrong. And one of the worst things I saw was when the... Preston Manning, who was the leader of one of the political parties, he said, well, I have my personal views on this, but I think this should go become
a referendum.
We'll take a referendum on this matter. Well, if you have any conviction as a leader, you don't put things to the people to say, well, what is your pleasure on a moral issue? Now, the people want to say, well, we need to save up some more money, we need to pay up for national debts, and we want to have... You would say, okay, it depends if you want to pay a debt down faster or slower. You have some freedom there, and we'll talk about that in church on Sunday, about what is the limitation of freedom, and some similar issues in the sermon. But moral issues are not issues that you can sort of negotiate on. Now, what you find with humanism is that it is really a religion, and as you saw before, it has missionaries too. They send people out. Let's go out and make all other countries like we are. Now, you think, what's the benefit of that to Iraq? There might be some human benefits that people might be able to move around, but you see the immorality that's already beginning to breed in Iraq, some of the things that are going on, and the pornography that is starting to bloom in the market, and things that were never there before. So on one hand you think, hey, we're giving them our freedom, but that's the sense of what man thinks, that we have freedom, you can do anything you want. And that's the religion that is being spread. It's a religion. Make no mistake about it. Everyone has a religion. Every country has a religion. And in the West, our religion is humanism. Please continue.
By vast appropriations of money and dedicated labor, we are trying to save all nations and races, all men, from all problems in the hopes of creating a paradise on earth. We are trying to bring peace on earth and goodwill among men by acts of state and works of law, not by Jesus Christ. But St. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Okay, and last.
Law is good, proper, and essential in its place, but law can save no man, nor can law remake man or society. The basic function of law is to restrain, Romans 13, 1-4, not to regenerate, and when the function of law is changed from the restraint of evil to the regeneration and reformation of man and society, that law itself begins to break down because an impossible burden is placed upon it. Today, because too much is expected from law, we get less and less results from law, because law is put to an improper use. Only as we return to a biblical foundation for law shall we again have the return to justice and order under law. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain and build it. Psalm 127, verse 1.
Number one, all laws reflect or are based on a moral standard, whether it is the Bible standard or another religion. There is no law without morality. There is no law without morality. Some morality, Bible or others. Number two, all moral standards are different. Christianity is much different from anything else. Some think lying is good. Murder is a good thing. For some, idolatry is a good thing. I mean, if you're not worshipping an idol, you're not a good Hindu. So different religions have different standards. We have to accept that. They don't all teach the same thing. They don't reflect the same God. Three, when men say they don't want to legislate morality and make people moral, you must remember two things. One, they mean they don't want to legislate Christian morality. They don't want the Bible's law as their foundation. And two, they mean they want to legislate humanistic morality, which is based on relativism. That means one day it's okay, one day it's not. It changes from one time to another, one period to another. It's right, it's wrong, it's right, it's wrong. But why? Here is a government that tells you, well, so much money you can invest in foreign things. Then the next time they change and say, oh no, you can invest more or less. And they keep changing. That's the relativism. It's reflecting the humanistic religion. Democracy is also a good example of it. They don't want what the Bible says. They want what man says, man's religion. By the way, you know which form of government you would consider to be the perfect form of government? If you had a, you know, there are all kinds of different governments.
You're asking us?
Yeah.
A decentralized constitutional republic.
No.
Well, a constitutional republic is already decentralized. It's based on spreading of power. And that's actually what this, it's consistent with the scripture. The scripture is the constitution. It's based on that. and it's a republic form of government rather than what we have today. For example, consider our own situation. You are in Canada. Here's a prime minister appointing these senators based on what? Well, we know, based on who gives him money, who likes him, who he likes, right? Rather than based on men who are good and qualified to lead the country. But that's man's law. That's how man's law goes. It's in contradiction to Christian morality. So when they tell you, oh, we don't want you to legislate morality, they mean your morality. They certainly want to legislate their own morality. Four, the Christian knows that law can't redeem, but it restrains. The humanist does not believe this. He believes his law can redeem. He can save. I think I like what the, what's the one he used? Law can't do what? Restrain and regenerate. Okay. This is one of the reasons we don't execute murderers, because our goal is to make laws to redeem people. So we can make everybody good. You know what is based on who was it? The famous child psychiatrist or psychologist. It's based on the corruption by society. It's society that corrupts the children, because children are born perfectly pure and innocent. It's bad society. So if we change society, we're going to change the child. What are they trying to do? They're trying to save the child. Save the child by doing that. By making laws. So they will restrict people. They'll have all kinds of restrictions on people. They have sexual predators. Well, you have to register here. This is the way we're going to keep people safe. But here's the thing. Conclusion. Be ready to say that religion can never be separated from morality and politics. It is impossible to do so. And when you're going to have your arguments with, as the elections come up, with your foolhardy Christian brother or your relative or that neighbor, you need to be able to say, well, why not? When my neighbor told me I always vote NDP, I said, how can you say you're a Christian and you vote for someone who supports the killing of children? What's your reasoning behind it? You have to be able to show them that this is inconsistent. I don't know of any party even who really would stand up for children, except some of these smaller parties. But here's the reality. How do you vote for somebody who does these things? I mean, this is about the worst extent. But you have to challenge people in their thinking. Point out that those who say that you must keep religion out of law are really lying to cover their own motives of introducing their own standard of morality. That's what we call humanism, based on their own religion. Now, also evangelistically, if that's such a word, it wasn't underlined by my spell check, so I assume it's a word. Evangelistically, humanism, thus religion's attempt to save, is hopeless because it does not deal with man's sin. And you need to be able to tell people that. The government is trying to think that they can create this perfect society and everything will be in harmony. We'll all be Jehovah's Witnesses and all the animals will become tame and everything will be perfect. Well, the reality is it's not dealing with the problem of sin. When you talk to the Muslim, come down to that point. Deal with the issue of sin. He will tell you, well, my religion says that if there's more good in this scale and more good than bad, then it's okay. So I said, oh, well, I said to one man, well, that means your God thinks some sin is okay. Because he doesn't punish you if you do more good. You just can do some good and you can offset the bad. So sin's okay. And there's no punishment for that sin then. And then it started to register to him. Yeah, my God doesn't do anything about that. It's not for that sin. Make them think about it.
Well, then it's not a sin.
Well, yeah, but they have a completely different definition of sin. But then you tell them what the Bible says about sin. Sin.
Yeah, but that's your fault.
Absolutely. But I know what you're trying to show them is the foolishness of their thinking. That their God is kind of slack. That their God doesn't care about sin as long as you do some other things to offset it. And then you're okay. So if you kill somebody and you save somebody's life, hey, you're okay.
Well, that's because it works.
Absolutely. And that's the point. It's humanism. It's based on the kind of work that you do. And the kind of laws that are passed that you obey. That somehow is supposed to fix your problem and society will be perfect. You need to show them. And by practical example, look at societies that have tried this. Never been successful. They can't be. Because they're not fixing the real problem of man, which is sin. And he needs the Word of God. And this is where faith comes in. You can show them the foolishness of their reasoning, but then faith comes into play. They have to realize that it's only through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working through that Word that changes the man on the inside. Real, real change. There in Canada, I believe the return to prison. You know what the rate is?
Reincarceration.
No. 80-90%.
No, not so high, but it's 72%.
Reoffend.
Yes, but there's a technical recidivism or something like that. The returning back to prison. 72%. So almost 3 out of 4, they come back and go back. Yeah. So guess what? The prison system is not working. This thing of making law to say, well, we will punish you and rehabilitate you. It's not working. It can't work. Because they're not fixing the real problem. Now, law can't do that. What they need is godly laws to restrict these men. And guess what? If someone murders and you execute him, he's never going to commit that crime again. That's what God's law intends to do. But at the same time, we must understand that this means the church has more work to do to bring the Word of God to the world. That's the only way they're going to be saved. It's not going to make society perfect by making laws. Universal health care, universal daycare, universal pension. They could make everything universal. It's not going to work.
Make a universal utopia.
Well, it still doesn't work. Look at where we are today. I mean, China tried for so many years. Where is it today? You got even much richer people now in China, and you have extremely poor people in China now. It didn't work. Didn't work in Russia. It's not going to work anywhere. It's the heart that needs to be changed. Here and there. There. That's easy. I always point that way.
East or head.
That's how I grew up. That's why. Okay, any questions on this?